So the first thing I want to bring is, what is love? And I'm going to bring to you a quote, and the quote says, "You can always give without loving, but you can never love without giving." These are the words of the missionary Amy Carmichael, who served in India for 56 years. Amy was born in County Down in Northern Ireland, and at the age of 24, she left for India to never return home again. Over her 56 years of serving as a missionary, she devoted herself to helping orphan children. And in 1925, she started her own orphanage. And besides these great works that this lady did, she also wrote many books and poems. And from this we find this quote that we've just heard: "You can always give without loving, but you can never love without giving." You can always give without loving, but you can never love without giving. So I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we go through this passage. And it is from this quote that we move into one of the most encouraging and comforting passages in the New Testament, which looks at the topic of love and where it comes from. Verse 7, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And whoever has been born of God is love, and love is in him." Verse 7, as Alistair said in the kids' address, opens with this very warm and tender refrain that we have seen throughout this letter: "Dear friends," or as the ESV puts it, "beloved." And it's clear that these people that John is writing to are no strangers, but they are his very close friends, and they are his family in Christ. They are his brothers and sisters, as we are in this church today. I can call each of you my brother or my sister, just as Paul could call them. And following on from this, he gives them a command. He says, "Let us love one another." It's quite an odd opening to a letter, but he quickly gives us the reason why we are to love one another. Do you see it? It says, "For love comes from God." John is saying, if we truly love God, then we must show it. But not just in speech, but in action to one another. Romans 5, verse 5 says, "Hope does not put us to shame, but because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." This is the very same love that has existed between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit since before the world was created. This love is eternal, and this love is solely unconditional. And verse 7 later says, "So whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." And it is the same unconditional, eternal love that rests in every person's heart who knows Christ as their Lord and Saviour. Each person in this room who knows God as their Saviour, that love, that eternal love that is solely unconditional, burns in your heart. And the question is, do you use it? When we move to verse 8, John writes, "Those who do not love do not know God, because God is love." And this is the contrast that John has brought out throughout his whole letter. If you do not love your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ unconditionally, then he says, how can you love God who is love? How can you love the Father who has love pouring out of him like the sun gives out light? And John simply says, you don't. You don't love God truly if you cannot love your brothers and sisters who sit beside you unconditionally. We've seen this before in chapter 3, verse 17. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? And the simple answer is, it doesn't, or it's very faint. And God's asking us to burn with the same love that he burns every day with us, never failing. His love is here every day in our hearts. It gives us breath, it gives us life. And it's there for if you just call upon it and look to him. This will come up later, as John speaks about it later in the letter, and we'll come back to it. We'll come back to this love and sometimes our lack of it. So the question I want to ask next is, what is this love? This love that John speaks about so much. And John tells us in verse 9, This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. So what is this love? This is the love of giving and sacrifice. Totally unconditional. God did not just say to us, I love you all. And he didn't show it. He's not a God of words, but he's a God of action. He sent his only Son to die for us so that we can all have eternal life. It's for everyone. His love is not sprinkled on a few and says, oh, you can have it and you can have it. Everyone can have it. If they just look to Christ. And that, my brothers and sisters, is how much the Lord loves you. That he even sent his only Son that he had and he loved. He has seen him from the beginning. He sent him to die. Because he knew that's the only way we could get to heaven. It's a complete contrast to the love that we have as people and the love of the world. The love of the world is really selfish. It's self-serving. We always want something back, as Alistair said in the kids' address. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. But God's love is solely unconditional. He says, I know you can't give me anything back. He says, I know, and I know you'll mess up royally every day of your life. But he says, I still love you. And he says, there's nowhere you can run, there's nowhere you can hide that I will not love you. Think of Jonah. Jonah tried to run from God. And God found him. God found him in the boat. And even when they cast Jonah out into the sea, God still loved him that much that he sent a fish to catch him so he wouldn't die. And he showed Jonah love the whole way through. We cannot run from this love because the Lord's love is like a fire it consumes. And another most incredible point comes in verse 10, where it says, not because we loved him. It says, because he loved us all first. The Lord knew us before we were born. The Lord has known the world since its very creation. He's known each person in this room from that point. And he still loves, and he loves, and he loves. So as Amy Carmichael says, you can always give without loving. But you can never love without giving. And God has given us eternal life. And all we need to do is just ask him for it. All we need to do is just seek it. So if we truly love God, then we are to reflect it in small ways. He knows we're not going to. But as the Bible puts it in many other places, if you love me, try and keep my commands. Try and do this. And we ought to reflect this in our everyday lives. I don't mean going and dying. Maybe that's what will happen. Maybe you will go and be a missionary. And maybe you will find your fate there. But as Amy did. Amy Carmichael died in India in 1951. But even if it doesn't mean dying, it's sacrificing time for one another. It's giving up these small little things to one another. Last week, my car battery died, and I was in a right pickle, because I was due to go to Donabate for a youth group, and my car was completely dead. But who came? I rang a fellow youth leader, and she was there an instant to pick me up and take me to Donabate. When I came to church on Sunday, I mentioned to one or two others, and they picked me up and brought me to church, and many other people in the church gave me their number and said, if you need anything, just call me. And later that day, I got it sorted. Thanks be to God for that. But in that, we can catch a glimpse of God and those people's kindness. Because I know I couldn't repay the debt that they gave me. I know I can't. And they don't expect me to, which is the beautiful thing. And in verse 12 it says, no one has seen God, but if we love God, God abides in us and his love is perfected. And this is a huge responsibility, for our actions create windows into who we are. And it is through these very windows that some people will glimpse God for the very first time, and maybe the only time in their lives. So if we don't act, or we act extremely inappropriately, we snatch away maybe someone's only hope at seeing God or hearing the gospel. So think about your actions. Think about your care. You have to be so careful in your speech, because all too often we get hot-headed and we just crack, and then we realise, oh dear, I said that. I'm terrible for that. I've quite a short temper, and I've caught myself out many times just being too short with people, and then realising I can't redeem that. I can't rectify that. And in that instant, I could have snatched away someone's only hope at seeing God because they know I'm a Christian. And I go, well, how can he act like that? And so, folks, it is a great responsibility that we have if we know the Lord, that we are to share it and we are to put it out there. Because that is some people's only hope at seeing God. And it's only some people's only hope at eternal life. And it's through our actions then, it's through these little acts of sacrifice and giving that someone out there could get eternal life for themselves and even for their family. And in 13, we know we live in him. We're looking for confidence. So if my second point is, how can we find confidence in God's love in this ever-changing world? This world changes and our confidence are lost in our government and in our friends. But how can we find confidence in God's love? And John clears this point up very quickly in verse 13. He says, we know we live in him because he has given us the Spirit. The role of the Spirit is to open our hearts and open our minds to the love of God, and so we can hear his voice. And one of the greatest signs of this is Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came like a wind, and 3,000 people were saved that very day. The apostles could speak every language that was spoken there, even though they've never learned it. That is the power of the Spirit, and that is the power of God's love. And it's in us, even to this day. We just don't utilize it enough. We just don't use it. But it's still there, and it's in our hearts, and we can see and we can know God because we know it. We can understand his word because of it. The second point comes in verse 14. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son. This is John's eyewitness testimony, that he has touched and he has seen the living Jesus when he lived and even when he died and rose again. As it says in the Gospels, 500 other people saw the living Christ after he has risen again. And in this world, everybody wants facts, 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 all fake news without facts. And this is your fact. He says, John has touched him. Even doubting, Thomas stuck his fingers in the holes of Jesus' hand and in his side. He believed. And John's saying, I've touched him, I've seen him. So you are to believe it, because it's fact. And then as we move on to verse 15, it is just a restatement of verse 12. So if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and they in God. All these repetitions just give confidence of how much God loves you. For both the congregation 2,000 years ago who were struggling, for the context of that is that many have just walked out of that church claiming that they have a special insight from the Spirit and they've turned their backs on them. But John's saying, no, they are not. They do not have that insight. He said, they don't even know God. But he's saying, you who stayed, you who are here with me today, he said, that, and you know the living God, because you actually stayed and you love him. And all these repetitions are just confidence, 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 how much the Lord loves us all. And this love is so great, as we see in verse 17, that even when the day of judgment, even when the last day comes, we have nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing. As the old analogy goes, your passport is stamped. God has bought that one-way ticket to heaven and you have nothing to fear. All you're doing is sitting on the plane, waiting on the runway in the plane, waiting for it to take off. He said, the Lord loves you, so he's covered you if you believe in him. Yes, this world is sinful. Yes, this world is broken. Yes, it's falling apart. But he says, if we just hold on to God, like a father holds on to his child's hands, if we hold on to that child, God will never let us go. And even when the end comes, we have nothing to fear. Nothing at all. Because the Lord's love is in you. And it's absolutely unexceptional. It's amazing. It is an exceptional love, sorry. A really exceptional love. So I encourage you, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, or even if you're still hesitant, even if you still fear, pick up your Bible. When you go home, pick up your Bible in the evenings and read about this God who loves you. Read about him. It's the whole way through. This whole Bible speaks about the love that the Lord has for you. But even if you've got any questions, come and speak to myself or Alistair or any of the elders after the service for tea and coffee and ask us questions. How can God love us unconditionally? Ask us the questions, because it's so important that you know this love. But my final point comes in verse 19 to 21. And John gives us a warning. And it's quite a stark warning. It's a warning against liars in the church. Verse 20 says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. As Alistair said a few weeks ago, man and us, we cannot go in two different directions. You either walk forwards or you walk backwards. It's impossible for us to go in two different directions. And the same principle applies here. You cannot say, I love God, but you hate the person in the pew beside you. You hate your brothers and your sisters in Christ, or even in your own family. Even if they aren't saved, you cannot say, I hate them, if you then turn around and say, I love God. The two just aren't compatible. It doesn't work. Matthew 6:24 says, man cannot serve two masters. We either serve God, we either serve the Lord, or it says we serve ourselves. We either serve the Lord and love the Lord, or we serve ourselves in our hatred and our malice. So how can we serve? How can we? Sometimes it is the most impossible task to love one another. I know. You're really pushed to the ends of your wits and you're saying, how on earth can I love that person? They just drive me insane. All you have to do is remember the Lord's love is unconditional. It is not our love that lives in us if we know Christ. It's God's love. That just takes a weight off our back, because we realise, hold on, all we can do is just get on our knees and say, Lord, help me to love this person. Help me to get to know this person is my brother. And he said, that is true love. So as this passage ends, it ends with a command. And it says, he's given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So I want to bake that into a challenge, because if you say you truly love God, then we must show it. The old phrase, actions speak louder than words. And God's already showed us how much he loves us by sending his son to die. So how are you going to show it? Parents, how are you going to show it to your children? Children, how are you going to show it to your parents? Spouses, how are you going to show it to each other? Maybe it's giving up something. Maybe it's saying, I will play golf on a Saturday because I need to spend time with my wife. Maybe it's stopping work early because you haven't spent much time with your son or your daughter. But maybe it's putting something else first. Whatever it is, I challenge you to do it. So don't be Christians of just speech, but be Christians of action and love. Because God has done so much for us. You can always give without loving, but you can never love without giving. So I challenge you, and it's a challenge to myself too, show that Christian love, show the love of God that dwells in you. Show it to one another, and even through that little action, someone may come to Christ.